Baby Blue, a supernatural fanfic written by Edwardina, read by Applejuice. Pairing, Sam/Dean, rated explicit. Summary. Sam touches a cursed pacifier and is compelled to suck on it nonstop. At first, Dean thinks it's hilarious and Sam is humiliated, but the way Dean treats Sam is actually a turn-on for them both. Witches, man, grumped Dean. Just when you think they can't get any worse, they start literally kidnapping babies. He kicked at one of the many ancient wooden cradles that surrounded them. It creaked loudly. Evil bitch, he said in disgust. You absolutely sure you want to join the coven? Sam glanced over his big ol' shoulder. He was over in the creepy corner cupboard, more interested in seeing what kind of witchy paraphernalia he could skim from its innards than in cussing out the corpse on the floor. It was probably the real reason he looked at Dean in the car after their last midnight infant delivery and insisted, "We have to go back. Make sure we took care of absolutely everything." No infant left behind, Dean had thought. But they'd emptied every cradle. Two of the babies, they'd returned to their sobbing, grateful parents in person. They weren't sure who the other three belonged to, so they dropped each at a different fire station, laying them in safe haven compartments. Hopefully by now they'd been discovered and were receiving medical aid. The witch was just as they'd left her, a withered carcass on the filthy floor, the life-sucking charm she'd worn around her neck shattered. He and Sam had discussed burying the body, but they were tired. 5 crying babies had been enough to deal with. With the curse broken, hopefully this crone would just keep on aging, would wither to dust before anyone found this place. "For the last time, I'm not a witch," Sam said then, nose back in the cupboard. "Dude, even she recognized what she was dealing with when she saw you casting that spell," Dean said, staring at the mummy-faced hag. "She said it herself. Witch. Takes one to know one is all I'm saying." Sam sighed. "Okay, sure. I do magic. More than the average hunter. I can admit I'm studying it. But it's to help us with more complex spell work, like destroying that necklace without having to touch it. Now that we don't have Rowena to call on, I think it's smart. But I'm not a..." He trailed off. Something had gotten his attention. Dean could only fucking imagine what. This hovel of a basement was full of hoodoo, knickknacks, eyeballs in jars, and precious moments figurines coated in dust. Nasty stuff. "Just admit it already," Dean said broadly. "You're following in the footsteps of your hero, Hermione." He thought his geeky baby bro would take to that reference. Sam had devoured all those freaking books. He and Charlie had talked about them for hours. But he got no response, not even an exasperated huff. "No?" Dean asked, disappointed. He glanced at Sam, and this was when he saw the cursed object that would change everything. It was in Sam's mouth. It was baby blue. Plastic. Familiar. Dean knew what it was. One had been in the mouth of every infant when Sam and Dean had busted into the basement. What was it called? A pacifier. "Dude, what the fuck?" he demanded, brows knotting with sheer revulsion. Everything in this place was disgusting. Why the hell would Sam put anything in his mouth, let alone something probably covered in baby slobber and grime? But Sam just stood there like a dumbass. The thing in his mouth seemed to be his sole focus. It moved a little. Dean heard the smoochy noise Sam's lips made against the pastel hunk of plastic. Sammy was sucking on the thing. Thoughtfully. "Sam!" Dean barked. That snapped Sam out of it. "Spit that out!" Chastened, Sam raised his palm and released the pacifier into it. "What is wrong with you?" Dean complained.
Nothing, Sam said. And he put the pacifier right back in his mouth.
"Dude, quit screwing around!"
Sam pulled at the plastic, a puzzled crease on his forehead, But the pacifier was only out of his mouth for a second before he compulsively reinserted it. Again. Sam. A frown deepened the line on Sam's brow. He yanked at the thing with clawed fingers, dragging it from his lips with a loud pop. He grimaced, stared at the pacifier, then crammed it right back in his pie hole. Dean was starting to worry. Sammy, get that thing out of your mouth right now, or so help me. His baby brother responded with plaintive puppy dog eyes that put the precious moment's figurines to shame. Okay, Dean said tiredly, gripping the steering wheel. This is no big deal. We can fix it. We just gotta get home. Let's go over what we know, okay? Sam nodded. So, the witch cursed the pacifiers to keep all the babies quiet while she drained them. Whatever spell she used makes sucking on the thing irresistible, so her whole nursery wouldn't be spitting them out all the time, going wah, 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 and tipping off the neighbors. Another nod, and a soft sucking noise from Sam. And that one was in the creepy cupboard, Dean recited. You touched it. That activated the curse. Now you can't get enough of the damn thing. Sam sighed. But it's not draining you, Dean added, for his own benefit as much as Sam's. We busted the charm. That part of the spell's broken. So it's just making you want to suck on it, that's all. It's not actually hurting you. Oomph, Sam agreed. What if I yanked it out of your mouth right now? Threw it out the window? Asked Dean. There was a clear note of anxiety in that muffled protest. Maybe it was the sleep deprivation, but Dean felt a case of the chuckles coming on. This is the weirdest fucking thing that's ever happened to us, and that's saying something. He couldn't resist a jab at Sam's expense. Always said you were a big baby. Disapproving. Dean laughed out loud. By the next morning, Dean had kind of forgotten about it. He padded to the kitchen in his tube socks, robe billowing, and peered in there for Sam. But the kitchen was cold and empty. That was when he remembered Sam had gone to bed, still sucking on that pacifier. He'd been cranky at that point, too. Fussy. Dean cracked up thinking about it. God, he had to get pictures before they broke the curse. He'd never let Sam live this down. Never. He'd be 80 in the nursing home, and he'd turn to Sam and say through his dentures, "Now that you're back in diapers, want your pacifier too?" Curse? This was more like a blessing. He couldn't wait to show Sam's next crush pictures of him sucking away on that rubber nipple. Good times. Dean ducked back into his room, grabbed his phone off its charger, and made his way to Sam's room. The door was shut. Fingers ginger on the knob, Dean opened it as quietly as he could. Light from the hallway spilled into the darkened bedroom, illuminating for Dean his brother's sleeping face. Yep, that pacifier thingy was still in his mouth. But Sam's face had eased in his slumber. Those cranky lines and wrinkles had smoothed. His hair was tousled on the pillow. He didn't stir at all as Dean opened the door wider, even with the squeak let out by its hinges. Sleeping like a damn baby, thought Dean, and had to abort mission because he was choking on his own laughter. By day 4 with the pacifier, the atmosphere in the bunker was tense. In the library, books covered both tables. There were the remnants of multiple dud spells in the garbage, in the kitchen sink, on the war room map. Frustration had mounted with each failure. Dean had passed on looking for jobs in favor of endless mind-numbing research, so he was getting a little stir-crazy on top of it all. They'd had one visitor thus far, Castiel, who tried in vain to destroy the object Sam couldn't keep out of his mouth. Not that Dean hadn't tried. He'd smashed the thing with a crowbar, he'd taken a blowtorch to it, tried to chop it in half with an axe, which had broken on it, so now they were down an axe. Every effort only made the pacifier glow white for a brief moment. It seemed invulnerable. And Sam always dove for it like a madman after a second, shoving it past his lips with a craven animalistic hunger, and almost moaning with relief when it was back where it belonged. It was difficult to keep it out of his mouth long enough to take swings at it. Dean had to hold Sam back between each of Cass's attempts to smite it out of existence. "It's bonded to him. To his soul, I think," Castiel told Dean.
"Sam has a soul bond with his wubby," repeated Dean. He couldn't keep a straight face.
"You're enjoying this too much," Cass informed him dryly.
"Yes, essentially. Human souls are not only sources of incredible power, but indestructible, and that's what's protecting it. Sam's soul. This is some serious magic."
"I don't get it. We didn't have this problem with the other babies. The kidnapped ones. They were spitting out their pacifiers and wailing every 5 seconds."
"Perhaps because their pacifiers were given to them while the witch was alive," said Castiel. "Something in the spellwork tied the witch to the pacifiers, and the pacifiers to the infants, like a chain. With the witch dead, the chain broke, and thus the curse broke. Sam touched his pacifier after she was dead, and her charm was destroyed. Therefore, the pacifier never connected to the witch. It's only connected to him."
"Makes sense. About as much sense as it can make, anyway," said Dean.
"I'm concerned," Cass said. "Sam's soul is in rough shape as it is. It was flayed in the cage, savaged by Lucifer, stuffed back inside him. Even if you find a way to destroy the pacifier, it's possible you could open old wounds. You could even kill him. You need to uncouple it from his soul before you make any further attempts to destroy it. That's the only way."
"Conscious uncoupling. Got it, Gwyneth."
"Even for you, that's a very specific reference," Castiel said. He put a hand on Dean's shoulder. "Keep looking. I will too. And call me if you need anything."
"Will do," said Dean.
Getting food in Sam was difficult. He wouldn't eat on his own. His hunger for the pacifier was far greater than his hunger for food. He would comply when Dean told him to spit out the passy. Like, he would at least try. But he'd shove it right back in his mouth almost immediately, and look so relieved to be reunited with it, Dean felt bad taking it from him.
So, because Sam wouldn't feed himself, Dean fed him, by hand. Each meal was fraught.
"Spit it out," Dean would say, "and be ready with a forkful of salad or whatever to shove into Sam's mouth for the split second the pacifier was out of it."
Relying on a pair of handcuffs to keep Sam's right wrist on lockdown, Dean would restrain Sam's left wrist in a steely clench while Sam fought against him to reinsert the passy and gnawed on greens. All this arm wrestling allowed Sam to get in a few seconds of unencumbered chewing, but it seemed to cause a lot of distress.
Dean, let me go. Let me have it. Please, let me have it," Sam would inevitably start babbling, even though he was also doing his best with each bite for Dean. He'd yank at the cuff on his wrist till his skin was red and welted. Dean would let go of him again the second he could, and Sam would cram the pacifier in and exhale deeply, his cheeks hot. He was frustrated and uncomfortable, sure, but underneath all that, there was embarrassment. Dean knew that. The pacifier couldn't have looked more infantile. The center of it was a white disc with a cartoon rocket ship printed on it. The plastic wings on either side were light blue. It had expanded itself to fit Sam's proportions perfectly, part of the spell, they'd assumed. So it covered his lips in full and curved over his cheeks. Sam could barely speak around it. But worse than the babyish look of it, or how helpless it made him, was the way he couldn't keep himself from sucking on it. Between moments of semi-hysterical laughter at the absurdity of their situation, and his mounting fear that fixing it was going to be harder than he'd thought, Dean was sort of preoccupied with it. Morbidly fascinated or something. He stared a lot. On day one, he'd sat for a long time in one of the armchairs in the library with the Scooby-Doo comic book, giving Sam some distance.
Sam sat at the table and sucked audibly but absently on the pacifier, hunched over some tome or other. It sounded wet, spitty. Tiny squeaks came from the pressure of his mouth around the giving rubber. Dean couldn't help but watch the baby blue plastic moving along with the rhythmic pulls Sam was giving it. Something about that movement alone gave him a vivid sense memory that he didn't know he still had in him. They'd given Sam pacifiers, he and Dad, when Sam was a baby. Dean specifically remembered a red one, but he also remembered they had a whole plastic baggie of them, because they got lost easy. He remembered Sam's car seat, too. Nowadays, those were fabric and plastic. But back in the day, Sam's had been leather and metal, both of which were burn hazards. Dean could remember the heavy feel of the contraption next to him in the back seat. The squeak of leather when Sam got restless and wiggled a lot. The way they'd have to be careful to keep Sam's bare skin from touching metal. He remembered Sam's footy pajamas, the rubber soles dingy, the fabric pilled. He remembered Sam staring sleepily at him from the confines of his car seat, sucking away on the pacifier and drifting off with it in his mouth. How the pacifier would be moving, 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 then stop when Sam fell asleep. He remembered, man, the smell of Sam's baby saliva on the rubber nipple of the pacifier. The scent of formula, of baby food from glass jars glopped on a spoon. The feel of Sam's curls under his hand, like silk. And here Sam was, 30-something years later, resting his temple on his fist while he dejectedly went to town on that wubby. He had a few gray hairs in his tresses, which still kind of wanted to curl.
Day 6. Dean slammed Sam's book shut. "All right, enough," he announced, planting both palms on the table. "We gotta do something else for a while, man. Get our minds off this. Recharge the mental batteries." Sam, who was doing a lot of communicating with expression alone these past few days, looked at him warily, face crinkling. "I get you aren't up for hitting the town. Plus you're too young to drink, judging by that thing," Dean said, making Sam's head lower again. "So, we'll stay in. But we're getting our noses out of these books. Want to watch some TV?"
After taking a moment to exhale his woe, Sam nodded, shoulders hitching as though he was admitting he needed a break.
"Attaboy, to the Dean Cave."
They left the hard scholarly chairs of the library in favor of the cushy recliners Dean had chosen for their home theater, such as it was. Gone was the haunted TV. Dean had already put their big new flat screen through several marathons. Star Wars Marathon, Clint Eastwood Marathon, Hatchet Man Marathon. Dean had been cooking up a James Bond Marathon. But something made him quip to Sam,
"So, Thundercats?"
Sam's brows perked.
"No, no, it's all about Rainbow Bright," Dean joked. "That's the show Sammy likes."
Perching in his designated recliner, Sam pushed his sleeve up his forearm uneasily. Now he was avoiding eye contact.
"That a no? How about the Muppet movie?" "I get it, Dean," Sam said around the rubber between his teeth. "I'm a baby. Very funny." "Oh, you owning it now? Then where are the footy pajamas? Where's your blankie, huh?"
Sam's flustered breath whistled through the holes in the shield of his pacifier. He pretended to adjust his wristwatch.
"Embarrassed again," Dean surmised, with some pleasure he didn't quite get.
It had been a while since he could razz Sam this effectively.
"Are you actually blushing? Aw, that's cute. No, it is, it is. It's a real throwback. I'd ask if you want to switch things up and suck your thumb, but the wubby's where it's at, huh, kiddo?"
At this, Sam folded where he sat, elbows on his knees. He rubbed his face. All 10 of his long fingers carted through his hair, pushing it back. Dean could read him cold. After almost a week of constant intense wubby need and no sign of it ending anytime soon, Sam was exhausted, vulnerable. And rather than puff up huge and take advantage of his height over Dean, rather than growl his displeasure or yank the pacifier out of his mouth for a single second so he could snap at Dean to lay off it already. He was curling in on himself, stressed, berating himself for getting stuck with such a bizarre curse.
"I get it," Dean said. "Man, I'm happiest with my mouth full, too."
Something garbled came from Sam. It took a second to piece the misshapen consonants together, but Dean thought it was something like, "You're making this harder than it already is."
"Hey," he cajoled, steady. "It's gonna be fine. We're close to a breakthrough. Gotta be. We've tackled worse than this. And you know, at least it's not demon blood. I'm much happier dealing with Sammy the pasty addict than Sammy the demon blood addict."
A big puff. Sounded annoyed.
"Seriously," Dean said. "Wanna watch cartoons? I'm game."
"Nothing hentai," grumbled Sam.
"Course not. You can't watch that stuff till you're older. Come on, saw Voltron's on Netflix. What do you say?"
"Really? You wanna watch Voltron?"
"Voltron kicks ass."
Some approximation of the word fine made it out of Sam.
"Awesome." Dean cranked out his footrest.
Turned out Netflix didn't have the OG Voltron. Dean had wanted to see if the original was as good as he remembered, but the reboot, or whatever, seemed decent enough. On the second episode, Sam too pushed up his footrest, which Dean took as a sign that his beleaguered brother was actually getting into his choice of activity after all. It was satisfying, for some reason. Eventually, Netflix interrupted to ask if they were still watching, and by that point, Sam was asleep. Dean had noticed he was out during episode 3, when the quiet but consistent sucking noises coming from him had stopped. But Dean hadn't kicked Sam's leg or pinched his nose shut to wake him up, or anything. He hadn't even sneaked the pacifier from between Sam's lips to see if he could stay asleep without it. Might as well let the kid experience some peace. Plus, didn't babies need to nap a lot? He finished the episode by himself, and was gentle when he finally did wake Sam.
"All right, Tiger," he chided, squeezing Sam's plaid-covered shoulder. "Let's get you to bed."
Sam's eyelids lifted, but he seemed mildly confused. He uttered a round rubber,
"Dean?"
Everything about it was malformed. The pastel plastic blocking so much of his face shifted, bobbed a bit. Already he was sucking on that pacifier. But it was nice, relaxed. He gazed up at Dean with trusting eyes.
"Who else?" Dean said. "Come on, bedtime."
He himself pushed Sam's footrest down, sweeping Sam's feet to the floor and clicking the recliner back into place. Why he pulled Sam up from the chair and escorted him along to his room, Dean didn't know. It felt good. Natural. He was just doing it, guiding Sam by the elbow, with his other hand on that broad back, with zero thought. Sam trudged along with him. It was a little like he was still half asleep, or hammered. The reliable, sleepy squelches of his mouth working that rubber nipple accompanied them, echoing along with their footsteps in the subterranean hall. All of it put together was jamming on lifelong reflexes. Dean couldn't not mother hen him. They reached Sam's room, and Dean ushered Sam into it.
"Here we go, Squirt," he said. "Let's brush those teeth."
About as big of an ordeal as eating was. Sam had brushed his teeth with Dean's aid every morning and evening for days now. It wasn't fun. But Sam headed for his sink anyway, compliant, and Dean readied himself for the game of keep-away they were about to play in front of the mirrored medicine cabinet.
"No," Sam gritted around his toothbrush. Foam at either side of his gnashed teeth made him look feral. Even though he was scrubbing them furiously, trying to get the task over with as fast as possible, his left wrist was straining in Dean's grip, his fingers shaking around the passy.
"Please, Dean, let me have it. I need it, Dean. Oh, give it back. The first couple of passes had been doable, but now Sam was starting to bend, trying to shove his face toward the pacifier clenched in his vibrating hand. Sammy, up, up, listen to me. I'm going to count you off, okay? 3, 2, 1, coached Dean, who only then let him stuff the passy back in his mouth, even though it was full of minty bubbles.
Mmph,
moaned Sam.
Mmph.
Those were the kinds of amorous noises Dean made around his fork when Jody occasionally served homemade still-warm blueberry cobbler with spoonfuls of vanilla ice cream on top. Only Sam's noises were tingled with the kind of release of tension that suggested pain had been alleviated.
You're all right. You got this, Dean told him. Almost done.
Whiny now. Sam knew the pacifier was going to leave his mouth again in short order.
Yeah, Dean said again. I know. Ready?
A sad grunt. Sam screwed his brows together, took a second to breathe, then nodded.
Go.
Like a good little soldier, Sam uncorked himself, and Dean snatched his wrist before he could just boomerang the rubber nipple right back into his mouth. Breaths heaving through his nostrils, Sam got to work, though he was champing at the bristles and hulking like a bull ready to run horns first.
I'm gonna let you have it back, all right? Spit first. Spit, Dean ordered,
and Sam did. So Dean let him glom onto the pacifier again. A deep sigh gusted from Sam's nose. A couple more rounds of that and they were finally done. They got the pacifier rinsed clean again, although just barely, as Sam was red-faced and yammering for his wubby again and had craned over the sink to try and get at it, with Dean pushing him back the whole time.
Okay, we're done. I'm not going to take it from you any more tonight, Dean assured him, and slipped the pasty back in Sam's mouth himself.
The way Sam moaned was borderline indecent. He gave Sam a few seconds to get it together. Poor kid was bent double and clenching the porcelain of the sink like there was no tomorrow, heaving from the effort of enduring repeated separations. Veins stood out on his forearms. His neck was so flushed he looked sunburned. As the discomfort dissipated, Sam pushed himself upright again, but he angled his face away from Dean. There was no use. Dean still saw those tears of misery and desperation spiking Sam's lashes and wetting his cheeks.
Chin up, kiddo, Dean said. You're doing great.
Sam huffed and didn't look at him.
Enough of that.
Come here. Patiently pulling his brother to face him, Dean reached up and popped open the first several pearl snaps on Sam's plaid shirt in one go. Sam just stood there. Snuffles broke his breaths. Tears rolled free. He let Dean wrangle the whole thing off of him and mutter stuff like,
You're all right, you're just tired. Let me do this. And, Relax, I got you.
He didn't even slap Dean's hands away as Dean took hold of his belt buckle and began to work the leather free. He shifted in place and turned his face away again, but that was all. They'd patched each other up, helped each other dress and undress while banged up and bandaged, helped each other limp from the toilet for years now. So, this was nothing new, really. But it was unnecessary, and Dean knew it. And Sam definitely knew it, too. Dean helped him out of his jeans anyway, and Sam cooperated. He didn't make a fuss or even just roll his eyes when Dean tugged his blanket down for him, either. Dean patted the mattress, and Sam padded over in socks and boxers. Calmer now, he plopped onto the bed just where Dean had hinted he should, and wiped his eyes with quick, circumspect sweeps.
Get those Sasquatch feet in there, Dean directed, lifting the blanket.
Now Sam lifted his gaze to Dean. Even though he'd gotten good at reading Sam's face even without seeing his mouth, and Sam at making exaggerated facial expressions for Dean to read in the first place, Dean had no idea what this look was about. He couldn't tell if it was resentful, reproachful, or if Sam was trying to read him, too, trying to figure out what was happening, why Dean was coddling him all of a sudden. Dean took in the red rim of his eyes and the shine where tears had dropped down his cheeks. Then Sam pulled his long, eternally coltish legs up and pushed them under the blanket. Dean didn't even have to tell him to lie back. Sam's head hit the pillow. Fierce gratification booming in him, Dean tucked the blanket around Sam's ribs. A long sigh, weighted with weary melancholy, issued from Sam's nose. The pacifier moved. Undulated, really, as Sam's jaw flexed and his lips pushed and pulled. Dean watched it. He couldn't stop watching it.
Dean?
The near whisper broke Dean out of his stare.
There you go, Dean said. He backed off. Get some Z, Sammy. We'll hit the books again tomorrow.
Breakfast.
Get ready, Dean warned, Cheerios laden spoon in hand. Here comes the airplane.
Sam ripped the pacifier from his mouth and exclaimed, You're a fucking jerk. No sooner were the words out than the rubber back in, and Sam getting passionately intimate with it.
Wow, potty mouth, said Dean. Someone's asking for time out.
Unless Sam wanted to wear a balaclava that covered his mouth or something, he couldn't show his face in town. So Dean grocery shopped solo. Possibly a bad idea, because he just could not help himself.
Hey, he greeted, heading through the war room for Sam with a plastic bag in hand. Got you something. Thought it might help.
Sam turned from his laptop with interest, lifting his brows. Dean placed a plastic sippy cup, white with red apples printed on it, on the library table. It had a red lid to match.
Ahem, Sam said flatly.
That's not all, Dean said with a snap of his fingers. The plastic bag rustled as he reached inside. He drew out a plastic bottle of amber liquid bound in a colorful label.
Apple juice,
garbled Sam.
Had to, said Dean. So, is Sammy thirsty? Want to crack this bad boy open?
Practically snorting with derision, Sam spun in his seat, returning to his laptop. His shoulders jerked and rolled, aggravated. His pacifier could not hide his scowl.
Smart. We'll wait till snack time, agreed Dean.
The sippy cup stunt must have pissed Sam off, because he stormed out of the library and disappeared for a while that afternoon. Dean tried to crack open a book while he was gone, but he couldn't concentrate. He kept skimming the same paragraph over and over. Blah, blah, blood of whatever, blah, blah, blah. Geez, Dean was just trying to add a little levity to this whole situation. Eventually, he abandoned the book and went looking for his brother. Not in his room, not in the shower, not in the kitchen nor the garage, not in the file room or in the hidden room behind the shelves in the file room. There were a lot of rooms in this place they never even accessed. More bedrooms identical to their own, more storage rooms full of redacted files and mysterious artifacts, a whole-ass boiler room. Maybe Sam had holed up in one of them. Or maybe he'd hightailed it to freaking Oz to ask the wizard for a passy-free mouth. But by now, Dean was getting the hint. Leave me alone. At dinner time, Sam showed up in the kitchen doorway. Dean didn't make a big deal of it.
Yo, grilled cheese?
Hands in his pockets and shoulders awkward, Sam nodded.
Want juice with yours? I'm having some.
He expected a grumble, or for Sam to turn around and stalk away. But Sam merely shrugged.
Sit down, said Dean, stoked in ways he could not begin to understand.
He left the bread toasting in the pan and made for the fridge. Sam shuffled in. Soon Dean was bringing the sippy cup to the kitchen table, lid screwed on tight. He set it down in front of Sam for the second time that day, wondering what the reaction would be this time. The cup was small enough in his own hands, but it looked like a miniature in Sam's. Still, his big paw wrapped around it. Lifted it. Wrapped, Dean watched him tug the pacifier from his mouth, watched his even pinker-than-usual lips seal around the red plastic spout, heard the suck they gave around it. The sip only lasted a second, and then Sam simply had to get the pacifier back in him. He crammed it where he needed it, and, as always, sagged and exhaled like he found tremendous inner solace.
"That's my boy," Dean said happily. "No muss, no fuss."
They each had a grilled cheese for dinner, browned to perfection. It paired pretty well with the apple juice, you know, in a kindergarten-y sort of way. Dean picked his sandwich up and ate it in the usual fashion. With Sam's, he tore off bite-sized bits with his fingers and offered each to Sam one at a time. Occasional anxious jabbering for his passy aside, Sam didn't complain. He even took brief swigs from his sippy cup when prompted, and hung on to it with one hand for much of the meal, thumb tracing the apples printed on it. Dean was almost beside himself. He couldn't believe he'd gotten Sam to actually drink out of a freaking sippy cup. Somehow it wasn't as hilarious as he'd pictured, but it had him smiling like a smug son of a bitch anyway. After dinner, it was time for cartoons. At Dean's suggestion, they took the sippy cup with them, refilled with sweet, cold apple juice, plus a beer for Dean. More Voltron? Sam didn't argue with this either. He sat with the sippy cup in the recliner next to Dean's. As episodes ticked by, he gradually drained his juice, taking hurried slurps from the spout whenever Dean told him to. What had changed since that afternoon, Dean had no clue. Earlier, Sam had been pretty grumpy, but now he seemed over it, and willing to do whatever without question. Maybe he'd popped a benzo or something. Dean wouldn't have blamed him. Again, Dean put him to bed. They did the whole tour. Bathroom visit, tooth brushing, undressing, with Dean in charge every step of the way. Sam nodded at the sweats and t-shirt Dean pulled out for him to sleep in, slid his limbs into them willingly. Really took Dean back to the days of helping a far shrimpier Sam into his PJs in whatever crappy motel bathroom. It was still in his muscle memory after all these years.
"Want to tell me where you were earlier?" Dean finally asked as he pulled the blanket up Sam's torso.
Sam said.
"Walk." "Walk like a Chinese buffet or a nature walk?"
"Option B."
"Good. That's good. You probably needed to get out, get some fresh air. You've been cooped up in here for a week," said Dean, smoothing the blanket for no discernible reason.
"You know, if you want, I could take you to the park. Tomorrow, even."
"Park?"
"Yeah, so you can jog or whatever. It'd be fine if we just keep your precious covered, right? Keep it secret, keep it safe."
A longer sentence attempted to make its way out of Sam, but it failed to be anything Dean could understand. Maybe Sam had an opinion on him quoting Gandalf, he chuckled.
"Might want to text me that one. Didn't catch a single word."
Sam's forehead knitted. Irritation drove a huff from his chest.
"All right. You are good and tucked, you yankle biter," Dean murmured, hand roving over the satin edge of the blanket.
He didn't really want to be finished with the task. But it was weird to keep patting the blanket, keep adjusting it. He made himself stop.
"Thanks," Sam said after a moment.
Of course, it was more like Daffy Duck saying it.
"Thanks."
Maybe Sam hurt himself, because he closed his eyes and shook his head, then rolled abruptly onto his side, turning himself away. Ruined Dean's meticulous tuck job in the process. But that was okay by Dean. He fixed the blanket and smoothed Sam's hair back while he was at it.
"Night, kiddo."
He felt more than heard the subdued hum Sam gave. A little vitamin D did a Sammy good. Should he buy some Flintstones vitamins? Wondered Dean. He was, in truth, plagued by thoughts like this on the daily. They went to the park, just as Dean had pitched, and Sam started jogging in place the instant he was out of the car. A medical mask hid his pacifier from the prying eyes of the preschoolers and their guardians. Dean kind of got a kick out of knowing it was just underneath the mask, though. It was kind of like when Lisa had worn crotchless panties under her little black dress. But, not at all like that. And, Dean needed to get laid, probably, if his brain was wandering in that direction. Sam was waiting for him, sneakers slapping on the cement of the parking lot.
"Have at it, Flojo," he shooed, tucking his newspaper under his arm. "I see a bench with my name on it."
Shrugging, Sam sprinted off down a red dirt path, hair bouncing and shiny, like he was in a Pantene commercial. But a minute later, Dean got a text from him.
"You really gonna just sit there and watch me run? Like I'm gonna let you get kidnapped," Dean answered.
Kid jogged circles around the park so many times Dean lost count. He just kept passing by Dean's bench, again, and again, and again. Energy to burn, bet Dean. Maybe this would tucker him out. Maybe he'd need a nap. Finally, Sam slowed and stumbled to a halt a few feet from Dean, panting powerfully, aglow with sweat. His t-shirt was soaked through in several places. He settled his hands on his slim hips and proceeded to walk circles around the bench, all long-legged and towering. Dean's ears perked. Along with the shrieks of kids on the playground and the noise of traffic in the distance, he picked up on Sam's mask-covered huffs, and underneath those, the mild slurp of his mouth sucking his pacifier. When it seemed like Sam had cooled down some, Dean folded the newspaper. "Let's get you some water." There were a couple bottles in the backseat cooler. Dean retrieved one with the intention of delivering it to Sam, but on second thought, motioned for Sam to climb into the front seat with him. There were a couple of mooks on the trail, and brats sliding and climbing over on the playground under the watchful eye of their guardians. These people probably didn't want to hear a gigantic, sweaty 37-year-old man begging for his wubby. In the car, Sam unhooked his mask from around one ear, revealing to Dean the now all-too-familiar plastic, baby blue with that white disc in the middle, printed with the precious little rocket ship. Sweat dripped from his sideburn.
"Nice and easy," Dean reminded him, unscrewing the lid for Sam. "No rush."
Still breathing big and reedy, Sam nodded and accepted the bottle.
"Okay, whenever you're ready."
A centering exhale. Pop. Dean grabbed Sam's wrist with a firm hand. It tugged and pulled against his grip with increasing alarm and anguish, while Sam sipped water with the rim of the bottle shaking against his lips. Some H2O spilled down the front of his shirt, but it wasn't too much.
"Good," Dean encouraged. "We're relaxed. We're doing fine. Wubby in 3, 2, 1.
The pacifier stoppered Sam's eager groan. He collapsed back in his seat, sloshing water over his hand. It left big dark wet spots on his track pants. Dean took the dripping plastic bottle from him.
"See, this is why I got you a sippy cup."
Sam grunted, wiping his hand on his chest. His pecs rose and fell in steep lunges, tea stretching over the hike of his musculature. Wet squeaks escaped from behind the passy. Man, he was really going at it.
"More?"
Dean finally asked him. Sam shook his head.
"At home,"
he mumbled, and drew his mask back over his pacifier with a self-conscious dip of his head.
"Home it is," Dean said.
Castiel blew in without calling first, so he blew in on Dean feeding Sam SpaghettiOs. Dean almost dropped the spoon.
"Geez, Cass, do you mind?"
he snapped, struggling to keep Sam's hand away from his mouth. 1 second of surprise and he'd lost major ground. Sam's lips were almost on the rubber.
"I am interrupting," said Castiel.
"You think? Swallow first, Sam."
"Calm down," Sam managed to get out.
Then, despite Dean's best efforts, slork, the passy was back in his mouth. He and Dean both sighed. Sam with relief and Dean with acceptance.
"I have news," Castiel said then.
"Sergei has agreed to help us."
"Sergei? Cass, no!" Dean groaned, ass out of his seat. "Bad idea. You know he's going to want something in return. And what would a dude like Sergei want that we just happen to have?"
"The Book of the Damned," said Cass. And Dean affirmed,
The Book of the Damned, plus 1,000 other grimoires and journals and codexes. There's a reason we haven't called him already, damn it.
With a level stare, Castiel replied,
I know you don't trust him, and with good reason, but I believe this is our best chance at helping Sam. Every spell you've tried has failed. Perhaps it's less a matter of finding the right spell. Perhaps what we need is a powerful magic user.
Sam is a powerful magic user.
The words coming out of his mouth. Dean couldn't even.
Sam can't get through simple incantations. Or has that changed?
Well, no.
Have there been any signs of improvement since we last spoke?
No, but...
Then I suggest you give working with Sergei on this some serious thought, said Castiel. Or would you damn your brother? Force him to rely on you for every bite of food, every sip of water. Would you rather consign him to this life and yourself along with him? Or would you actually like to help him?
Ouch. Cass was not pulling his punches. It was all Dean could do not to visibly wince. Cass's chin lifted. Bastard had the moral high ground, and he knew it.
Sergei will meet us at noon tomorrow. Prepare yourselves for a trade.
And he flapped away again. Swearing under his breath, Dean squeezed at the spoon still in his hand and fought the urge to hurl it across the room. He realized he'd been holding it like a greaser with a switch knife the whole conversation, defensive. Didn't really help his argument, did it? He turned back to Sam, who was slouched in his chair, raw wrist cuffed to its arm. Wubby in handcuffs notwithstanding, he looked like a 12-year-old who'd gotten called into the principal's office. Only then did it hit Dean that Sam hadn't said one word about Cass's plan.
Well, Dean asked, are we really going to put our faith in Sergei?
Sam blinked up at him, tilted his head. He sounded out as best he could, tongue and lips moving over every clumsy syllable with slow deliberation.
Which got us into this mess, Shaman might get us out.
Yeah, Dean sighed. I mean, we don't got much of a choice, do we? We're not having any luck breaking the curse on our own. Guess we gotta give him a shot. But I'm not happy about it. Ketch was more trustworthy than that guy. Hell, Crowley was more trustworthy than that guy.
You think?
Sam quipped.
Eat your friggin' SpaghettiOs, smartass.
Little help?
Dean still had the spoon. He sat himself back down next to Sam, dropping his stern exterior.
All right, get ready for the choo-choo.
Plain,
corrected Sam. A dimple Dean hadn't seen in a while appeared, but Sam's gaze still dropped sheepishly.
Airplane, Dean said, grinning. Roger that. All right, Flight 69 requesting permission to land.
It went unspoken by now. Dean would be putting Sam to bed. They both knew it. Neither of them said anything about it. So despite skipping the cartoons in favor of combing the internet for a hunt, something they hadn't done in days, and something that seemed strange just because it was so normal, they kept the other half of their new nightly routine. Dean called bedtime. Sam shut his laptop and left his pen on the legal pad full of his notes. Obedient as a shadow, he followed Dean down the hall. Toward the end of the day, it got harder for Sam to deal with the pacifier being somewhere other than his mouth. Dean guessed the stress of everything all kind of added up, but they were about as well-oiled at this as it was possible for them to be. Dean knew when he could keep Sam from his wubby for a couple more seconds, and when he needed to let Sam have it. Even though soul bond magic was pushing him to do otherwise and fighting it was tiring, Sammy went along with him every time. He tried hard for Dean. He groaned and strained as he scrubbed his teeth and spit at Dean's command. Dean forcibly put himself between the sink and Sam's body as he rinsed the passy clean. He pushed it back into Sam's mouth ASAP and enjoyed the happy grunt and sigh he got. Then, while Sam sucked away on the thing with bliss smoothing his features, Dean took his little brother's clothes off him, tossed his button-down shirt over the back of a chair, habitually rolled his long-ass jeans, till he remembered he wasn't packing a kid's suitcase, and laughed at himself. Sam, down to his white undershirt and a dark pair of trunks, was already sliding between the sheets. No gym jams tonight. Dean left the denim in the seat of the chair. This would be the last time, he thought. The notion was like an anvil in his chest, crushing everything inside it. Didn't make sense. He should have been celebrating. Hopefully tomorrow this ordeal would be over, or close to it, and he and Sam could get back to normal. They could put this in the rear view, laugh about it someday. Someday when they were drunk and Sam wouldn't punch him for bringing it up. But Dean didn't feel light at the promise of things getting back to normal. He felt inexplicably heavy.
"Sure you're not thirsty?" he asked. "I can get your sippy cup."
Sam shook his head before it hit the pillow. He stayed still as Dean picked up his blanket, pulled it up his long body, and draped it around his chest. He was too tall for this mattress, Dean saw. Not that he was surprised. Sam was too tall for most beds, and Dean mostly didn't notice it anymore. But Sam's nearby knee was bent to keep his foot actually on the mattress. Dean's hand dropped to the lift of it, smoothed the blanket over it. The pokey knee shifted beneath his hand. Sam's breath whisked down his chest, settled between them. The quiet demand of his mouth around his wubby kicked in.
"God, I'm actually going to miss this," Dean said, and blustered through a contrite laugh. His throat felt thick.
The sucking paused.
"Hmm?"
Whatever Sam was asking, Dean said, "It's been rough on you, I know. But,
we got kind of a good routine going here. Like old times. You, me, Cinnamon Toast Crunch for dinner. I dream of Genie on our stolen cable."
He sat himself down beside Sam, casual on the edge of the mattress. Worn old memories were more tangible to him, more colorful and close by than they'd been in years. He could practically taste that cinnamon sugar milk. More came to mind, unbidden.
"Remember that one time you chewed up your toothbrush, so we had to share mine? And those socks you had with the green stripes? There was a hole in one of them. Used to tickle you through it. You'd kick me if I wasn't quick on the draw."
Brows high, Sam blinked a few times, like a sleepy toddler trying to follow a bedtime story. But finally he nodded.
"Anyway," Dean said hastily.
He had to get it together. He pushed a few strands of wavy hair off Sam's temple, knuckles brushing sharp cheekbone in the process. He couldn't help butting the back of his hand to it, picking up the scruff of sideburn and a hint of rough beard, and a flexure of Sam's jaw moved, just a little. It made Dean puff in amusement. Sam was obviously trying not to nurse at the rubber in his mouth while Dean was looking at him, but he was losing the battle. What did this kid think he was downplaying at this point? Dean rubbed his knuckles along the hinge of Sam's jaw.
"Hey, don't stop 'cause of me. I know you gotta suck it. Go ahead."
He wasn't expecting Sam's head to dip, for his cheek to rub and nuzzle at the back of Dean's hand like a cat pushing its face into a scritch. He watched as Sam's eyelids slammed shut. More than startled at the sudden affection that accompanied the surrender, Dean didn't move, save to caress Sam back with the bridge of his knuckles. It was automatic, involuntary even. The shield of the pacifier scraped along the back of his wrist, bumped into his hand as Sam sucked. And then Dean's hand moved without conscious intent, and the next thing he knew, he was cupping Sam's other cheek, thumb swiping over one of the blue plastic wings. Like this, he could really feel Sam working that passy contentedly in his mouth.
"That's more like it, huh?"
Dean said, thumbing the rocket ship in the center and feeling its shallow push and pull underneath.
"It's all right, Sammy. I know you can't help it. And I don't need you to stop for me."
"Hmm?"
"Yup. Suck it all you want."
Sam grabbed at Dean's hand, but it wasn't to wrench it away from his precious wubby. He squeezed it instead,
held tight to his face, wide palm and long fingers pretty much covering Dean's. Dean's response was to cradle Sam's jaw with both hands. His heart was throbbing itself against the cage of his chest, harder than Gunnar Lawless throwing Hellraiser into the ropes.
"Don't you worry. No matter how this plays out, I'm going to take care of you," Dean told him. "You're my baby brother. Don't care how old we get. You're my baby. My baby boy. Always gonna be."
A crevice deepened between Sam's brows, and for a second, Dean didn't know if Sam was cringing in pain or what. His face was hot. Too hot. He was wheezing, almost like he'd been running. Was he gonna cry? Was Dean hurting him somehow, touching the pacifier? That was new. He grasped at the V-neck of Sam's tee with his unencumbered hand and looked Sam over, trying to ascertain the problem.
"Sammy?"
It was the shifting leg that alerted him, drew his eyes to the tint in the sheets. All at once, Dean processed several disparate facts. Sam was hard. It wasn't the lazy, insignificant half-chub of a proximity boner or a middle-of-the-night boner. It was enough of a rise to be noticeably poking up the blanket. And now Sam was pulling up his knee in an attempt to hide it. Dean was erect in an instant, his cock reacting before his brain even could.
"Sam," he heard himself utter.
Fight or flight kicked in. Sam let his hand go and began to sit up, a panicked energy driving his movements. But Dean caught him by the shoulder.
"Hey, hey, hey, it's okay. Relax. It's all right, Sammy. Take it easy."
Though Dean wasn't sure that would work, Sam stilled, then obeyed as if by habit, as though Dean was telling him to take a sip of juice when his instincts were fighting against doing any such thing. He eased back with a wary lack of pliability, elbows propping him up. His stare burned into Dean's.
"Good," Dean started.
He had no idea what he was saying. He just knew he wanted to talk.
"Everything's fine. Lie down for me, okay, kiddo?"
It took a second, but Sam did as he was told. His hair gleamed in the lamplight, falling in silky spills over his pillow. Dean laid a careful hand on his brother's sternum.
"That's my boy."
Sam's chest swelled, lifting Dean's hand along with it. Thumping under his palm made Dean aware Sam's heart was suplexing pretty hard, too.
"Everything's fine," Dean said again, encouraging. "Just you and me. Need me to take care of it? I will."
Confusion, or maybe something more like incredulity, tugged at Sam's brows.
"Always gonna take care of my baby brother," Dean went on. "All right?
Nod. Shake your head. Something. Tell me we're on the same page here, man." A hard puff from Sam, then a nod, furtive.
"Yeah? Okay," Dean breathed. "Okay, I got you, Tiger."
Both of Sam's oversized hands lifted off the blanket, driven up by Dean pushing his way underneath it intently, following the taper of strong, lean torso down with his palms sweating as he skimmed along. Somehow it felt like it had the first time he'd ever felt anybody up. At least, he felt about as reckless with horny daring, and about as competent, as he remembered feeling at 16. The terrain was oddly just as new to his senses. It didn't matter how many women he'd been with. It didn't matter how many times his hand had traced this path on them. This body was not the same.
And God, there was a lot of his brother.
Dean had to just keep reaching down. Searching, he ruffled the hem of Sam's t-shirt, pushed his way past it. He touched hot skin and felt the firmly muscled plank of Sam's belly suck low. His fingertips stretched and raked along the rasp of hair climbing toward Sam's navel. Sam gasped through his nose. For days now, Dean had been listening to Sam express himself merely with the quality of his breaths. All those relieved sighs and sharp, irritable huffs, the gloomy exhales which occasionally hissed through the holes of the passy's shield. Dean had catalogued them all. This gasp was new. Like one of pain, but pure electricity, pure sensitivity. The same electricity shocked Dean, activated every nerve ending he had. He pulled in a tight breath of his own, ventured lower, stared at Sam's totally stunned face as he groped into the body heat-soaked stretch of boxers and closed fingers around what he found there. And boy did what he get his hand on fill his grip. Sam's dick was stiff and thick to a degree Dean never would have been able to anticipate, even with his private suspicions about Sam was packing and intimate awareness of his own anatomy's characteristics. He squeezed that firm flesh, and his baby brother hitched, gulped. It was a hard, gutted little noise compressed tight around the rubber in his mouth. "Yeah, there we go," Dean murmured. He adjusted his grip and gave Sam a slow, twisting stroke. To some degree, it was awkward and experimental on his behalf, foreign. But to another, fully knowledgeable. The curl of his fist pushed against Sam's blanket as he pumped, making what was happening under there all the more obvious. Some part of Dean was strangely roused by that telling movement in his peripheral vision. It added so much context to the hardness and heat he had sliding within the tug of his hand. But he wasn't actually looking at what he was doing. He was too busy staring at Sam's face, ransacking it for anything he could get. Dean clocked the tight pinch of brows, saw the tender pink skin of eyelids nearly quivering, dropping and lifting like Sam had gotten a blow to the head and was too dizzy to focus. His hands hung suspended above his waist, long fingers spread in the air, the curve of his thumb so familiar it hurt. Dean didn't know whether Sam was on standby, internally debating whether to put a stop to this, or if he was simply too surprised to do anything. Then, "Dean," nearly formless in that full mouth and all breath, and Dean was all over it. "I'm here, Sammy. I got you." Sam's chin and pacifier pushed higher as his head tilted dizzily back on the pillow, opening a vulnerable stretch of pink throat for Dean's eyes. Damp heat kissed Dean's knuckles. It stuck to the front of Sam's boxers and slipped into the crevices of Dean's tugging fingers, and as Dean jacked, fixated, things only got wetter. Already Sammy was leaking for him. Already he was a different kind of tense on the mattress, knees open for Dean, hands dropping so he could grip at the blanket. His fingers crushed its satin edge. "Attaboy, nice and easy," uttered Dean. "Come on, come on, baby boy." A suffering, plastic-smothered whimper, and then Sam's cock leapt in his hand. Hot fluid pulsed into the fabric stretched over Dean's knuckles. Triumph hit Dean faster than a slug of foolproof whiskey. Instantly drunk on it to the point where the room seemed to tilt under him, Dean heard himself groan. Slippery jizz smeared all over his fingers, slicked his grip. More and more flooded over the back of his hand. The sensation was nothing new, but because it was Sammy's cum on his hand, it was wholly surreal. Felt so warm and wet, and it was everywhere. All over his hand, all over Sam's boxers. Sam's cock kept throbbing, kept shooting more into the hot confines, all over Dean's hand. Dean kept stroking, even when he could tell Sam was hitching past the high point, and even when he knew Sam had nothing left for him, he kept going, more affectionate than authoritative. He wrung a whole series of rumbly, stuttery noises out of his brother that way. They blustered against the plastic beneath Sam's nose. Sam's pelvis bucked and rolled, and he was going along with it, and making those good noises as he squirmed, so Dean couldn't stop for the life of him. Post-nut clarity crept in as soon as it had room to. Dean was still hard in his jeans, but even so, a stab of fear sobered him. He had his hand down his brother's pants. What was this, Reddit? I jerked off my younger brother after a week of infantilizing him. Ask me anything. So he stopped. Careful, he withdrew his hand, which was coated in a shiny film of jizz. white globs stuck greedily to the dips of his knuckles and webbed between his fingers. Dean stared, dazed. He was dimly trying to figure out how he was going to handle this turn of events, how he was going to smooth everything over and make it all okay, when Sam sat upright and shoved him. Instincts jolted, but pretty much in useless shambles, Dean backed off the bed.
Whoa, whoa, Sammy!
Only then did he realize that Sam wasn't trying to put space between them. Sam was following him, but apparently not to shove him again or sucker punch him in the nads. Instead, he grappled at Dean's belt, pulled at it with shaky urgency until it came apart. It took Dean another several seconds to make sense of and actually accept what seemed to be happening. Sammy was... Dean's belly throbbed so hard he hissed. His balls strained. He felt the snap and pull of his fly coming open and swayed on his feet. Sam seemed to take that as an opportunity to draw him closer by the belt. His long legs had spilled over the side of the bed, one still draped in the blanket. He had room for Dean between his knees and pulled him there, with Dean staggering.
Sammy!
This time it was just a hoarse husk he himself could barely form. Sam shot him a wired look. For the first time in a while, he looked like he wanted something other than his wubby, and he was after it. His gaze fell back to Dean's open fly. Too astonished to do much else, Dean reached for him with his clean hand. He sank fingers into the silk of Sam's hair and pushed all the way through to cup at the back of his skull. He held Sam, deliriously wondering at himself, while Sam tugged at the front of his shorts. Sam didn't stop till Dean's cock swung free, stiff as iron. Dean had nothing to be ashamed of in the junk department, so he wasn't as hung as Sam, whatever, nobody was. But he was still startled seeing Sam's hand come around him. The size of it. At first blush, it was its size that got to him anyway. Then it quickly became the strength Dean could feel in his grip, despite the restraint of it and the dexterity of his fingers and the encompassing warmth of them closing around his shaft. Breath puffing against the skin he'd bared, Sam leaned in and nosed at the base of his dick. In the scheme of things, that was not what Dean was anticipating. Such a deliberate touch felt more like a caress than it had any right to. Seeing his dick in Sammy's upturned face, brushing his nose, and sitting right on the plastic of the pacifier in his mouth, had Dean's balls clenching tight again. But Sam's next move was even more unanticipated. Scrabbling at his face, he pried the pacifier by its shield out of his mouth, and the next thing Dean knew, his cock was in its place, shoved into Sam's mouth, sliding in the snug, sweet cling of his pink lips, surrounded by wet and welcoming heat, and invited deeper. The walls caught and bounced Dean's stupefied yelp of a moan back to him, making it even louder than it had been already. Sam clenched his pacifier with one hand and braced Dean's cock snugly with the other, head tucking forward in intent swivels that moved the crown of Dean's cock between his lips. Swipes of tongue teased the tip and pushed along the shaft sloppily. Not the most expert head Dean had ever been given, but easily, so fucking easily, it was the best of his life, just because Sam was the one giving it. There wasn't even any competition. Dean was close to losing it then and there. He didn't want to, not yet, but he also couldn't handle what was happening. He was inside Sammy's mouth, and Sam was slurping at his cockhead, lapping at it. But then it all stopped, and Sam yammered, "Wait, please wait," and stuffed the pacifier back into his mouth with a pained cry. Distress marred his forehead. Dean's dick was disappointed, but the rest of him ached with tenderness. He could totally ignore the almost painful knife of arousal in his gut if Sam could ignore fucking soul-powered magic in favor of blowing him for even a few seconds. "It's okay, baby boy," he whispered, fingertips rubbing at Sam's scalp. "Suck on that for me." He got a responsive noise. Air puffed hot and heavy from Sam's nose, the bridge of which nuzzled along the back of Dean's dick. Dean could hear him getting after that soft rubber nipple. He almost shuddered, thinking his cock had just been in its place. That Sam had been sucking his knob instead of the pacifier.
Gah. If he got any more turned on, he was gonna combust. Leave nothing but a smoking crater behind.
A few sucks later and Sam had gotten his fix. Or enough of one anyway. He jerked the pacifier free again and immediately replaced it with Dean's dick. Dean fisted at Sam's hair and begged himself not to bust. No mouth had ever felt like this. He couldn't believe it was Sam's lips wetly pulling and pushing all around him. He couldn't believe Sam was doing this to him. This was something he was never meant to feel, never meant to experience. It kind of terrified him, just how much it was something that shouldn't be happening. And yet it was, and there was no walking away from it, no denying how good it felt to be in his little brother's mouth. Staring down at him, Dean could see the effort it was taking not to go back to the passy and the pull of Sam's brow. But he was the opposite of offended about that. If anything, that only made it obvious what Sam wanted, because if left to his own devices, Sam wouldn't even eat, wouldn't drink, wouldn't voluntarily do anything that took the pacifier from his mouth. But he obeyed Dean when Dean told him to spit it out, for whatever reason. And now he had Dean in his mouth instead of the pacifier. He'd done it all on his own. Getting better at it by the second, too, no matter how plagued he was by his obsessive need. Sam swooped closer, and between his hand pulling at Dean's shaft and his lips sliding over the ridge of the head almost lovingly, Dean was not going to last long. But again, Sam only managed so much before he could no longer deal. The hand around Dean's dick began to shake. Dean couldn't say he minded the magic fingers, but it was a sure sign Sam was really struggling. Before Dean could urge him to go ahead and do what he needed to do, he felt the squish and drag of the soft rubber on his cock. Sam was already trying to shove the pacifier in his mouth. His lips weren't even off Dean's cock yet, but just a second later they were. He had pulled back with a distinct pop and was cramming his mouth with the passy.
"That's it," Dean urged. "That's good. Just what Sammy needs."
Sigh harsh, Sam succumbed on the spot, as though having Dean's permission to do so was vital. He sagged against Dean. His hand kept up its distracted stroking, but he was focused on his wubby. Dean raked at his scalp in soothing circles, trying to tell Sam via touch that he didn't mind. He wished the pacifier was still infant-sized, though. Then he could probably fit in Sam's mouth right beside it.
"Ah, fuck," he blurted. "Sam, let me hold it."
He put his jizz-streaked hand right under Sam's chin expectantly. Sam looked up at him with reluctance crinkling in the corners of his eyes.
"Not gonna keep it from you," Dean said. "Give it."
After a second of concentration, Sam forced his jaw to unlock. The passy dropped from his mouth and into Dean's palm, shiny with spit. Dean rolled the thing in his fingers, then held it so the nipple was right next to the damp head of his cock.
"Think you can suck both?"
he prodded.
"Oh my God," Sam gulped, staring at the perverse mouthful Dean was offering.
For a split second, Dean thought he was weirded out, but the way Sam dove for it assured him otherwise. Sammy didn't open his mouth nearly wide enough. It only nipped the tips of both. He lolled his tongue over them to make up for the miss, pushing it back and forth so he could feel each. That alone had Dean on edge. Cresting there on the brink, he held the pacifier religiously still for Sam. On his next attempt, Sam managed to stretch his mouth around both Dean and his wubby. And at this, the kid groaned like nothing had ever felt better. His mouth was completely full, one corner of his lips tight to Dean's flesh, and the other to the rubber crammed in there alongside him. Warm and slick with spit, the rubber nipple slipped along with Sam's tongue against his cockhead.
"Sam, baby boy," Dean choked out.
That did it. Saying those words, feeling Sam suck so eagerly, hearing his mouth all noisy and wet around both his dick and the pacifier. Dean came. He didn't blame Sam for lurching backwards. It was sudden. His load, white and runny, striped Sam's chin and lower lip. Groaning, Sam opened his mouth and tipped in again, letting the jets of cum shoot right in his mouth and fill it. He jerked at Dean's cock, but paused for each and every blurt of jizz he felt so he could make sure it ended up in his mouth. Just when Dean thought he couldn't come any harder. By the time Dean's cock was only dripping pearls, Sam was blathering, with Dean's load still on his chin and all over his tongue. "Please, Dean. Gimme. I need it. I need it." "You need this, huh?" panted Dean, wiggling the baby blue wubby lewdly. Sam was barely holding himself back. "Yes, yes, please. In my mouth."
"Open up, squirt."
Jaw trembling, Sam did. Dean nudged the passy at Sam's shaky chin, sliding it along through the fluid sitting below his lower lip, and popped it into his waiting mouth. His jizz glistened white on the rubber nipple as Sam's lips closed around it.
"Mmm."
Sam groaned and leaned into Dean, sucking away, his arms wrapped around Dean's waist in a grateful hug. Dean was pretty sure he was even more overwhelmed than Sam. He didn't know how he was still upright, but he slid his arms around Sam's back and held his baby boy close. Once upon a time, Dean had reminded Sam of family rule number one: we do what we do and we shut up about it. That old chestnut hadn't held water for years now, and stuff was way better that way. Dean knew it. Still, he didn't know what to say for himself, or even how to say it. He knew he was the one who had to bring it up, because Sammy's lips were sealed. Busy, but sealed. Dean shifted on the mattress. Sam was right there next to him. They weren't used to sharing a bed anymore. But after shucking his clothes and consenting to some cleanup, Sam had invited Dean under the blanket by simply lifting it and gazing at him soulfully. Now they were both naked. It was kind of awkward and exhilarating at the same time.
"Hey, so,
crappy start, but judging by the lull in sucking, he'd gotten Sam's attention.
"I meant what I said," Dean pushed on, "about taking care of you. I'll help you. Make sure you eat, make sure you brush your teeth, the whole nine. I know I've been messing with you since you got, pacified. But that's, I'm serious. Just want you to know that."
"I do know."
Words misshapen, voice soft.
"Well, good."
Quiet fell again, though it was peppered by the comforting noises of Sam's wubby. Dean fished for words. The waters were too murky, too choppy, for anything of substance to bite. Sam piped up.
"Dean?"
"Yeah, kiddo."
This close, Dean could feel Sam's exhale gusting over his arm, warm but heavy. There came a familiar slurp. By now, Dean knew how it sounded when the wubby was getting removed. But Sam almost never took it out just so he could speak clearly. The last time he had, it had been to call Dean a fucking jerk.
"What happened tonight," said Sam, putting a nervous pit in Dean's stomach, "was that you messing with me?"
"What? No," Dean groaned. "No, you really think I would jerk you off just to mess with you?"
"Okay, good. Didn't blow you to mess with you."
"No?"
"Course not."
"Been asking myself what I'm doing all week," Dean admitted.
The dark they were laying in made it easier to say this kind of stuff, but he still crossed his arms over his chest and scrubbed a hand over his face, like he needed the cover.
"Why I'm doing this? Why I'm being a dick? Why don't I stop? You're not some helpless infant. The last thing you need is for me to treat you like one. I took it too far. I shouldn't have, and I'm sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me."
Sam said something, but it was too low and formless to understand.
"Gonna need that again."
belabored.
You wanna stop?
The question struck Dean as strangely submissive. It also seemed to imply there was a path other than the one that led straight to breaking the curse and getting back on the highway to Normalcy, Kansas. Dean had not assumed there was an other path.
Not really,
said Dean, adrenaline surging as he pulled a U-turn.
I want to take care of my baby brother, but I need you to be okay, Sammy. That's the only thing that matters, and I mean the only thing. You know you're all I care about, right?
I'm okay, responded Sam. I'm good.
He sounded level, or at least as level as he could sound in his situation.
I'm good if I'm with you. It's what matters to me. Whatever happens with Sergei, I don't need you to stop. Just need...
Dean unfolded. What? What do you need, baby boy? He rolled onto his side so he could face Sam, fighting off a million memories of rolling over next to his gangly kid brother in countless motel rooms, in the back seat, in sleeping bags, in cots. Sam hesitated before rolling to face him, too.
Safe word?
Oh, now we're talking, Dean leered. In the end, it took Sergei the promise of a favor, powdered bone of an ancient witch,
know just where to get some of that, said Dean,
a single hair off Sam's head, and all of 2 minutes to break the curse. He chanted some words over a brass bowl while staring Sam down and fondling the hair, and that was that. Sam coughed, spit his wubby into his hand, and blinked. The gaze he turned on Dean then was astonished.
Did it work? Dean demanded.
I think so, said Sam. He wasn't shoving the wubby back in his mouth yet.
You look like you're going to pass out.
Dean whipped to face Sergei.
Is he going to pass out?
I might, Sam wheezed.
How the hell did you do that, Sergei? The spell was only 2 ingredients. To break soul magic. How?
Oh, not 2. No, Sergei said calmly. 3 ingredients, one of which was the bond itself. I have transferred it to you and I. No problem.
What? Dean was apoplectic. Did you just soul bond with my little brother, you piece of...
Calm yourself, Dean. This may be beyond your understanding, but not all of us want to be soulmates with Sam.
Explain what you've done here, Cass interrupted.
Sam and I are not bonded soul to soul, said Sergei, having the audacity to look bored with the information he was relaying, even in the face of both Castiel and Dean staring mutinously at him. We are bonded by the promise of a favor, witch to witch, shaman to shaman, an unbreakable bond between magic users, at least until I collect the favor. But much better, I think. Yes, you are happy?
What happens if I machete your head clean off? Dean all but growled. Does that break the bond, ass clown?
I die, Sam dies, said Sergei shortly.
Oof, right where it hurt.
I have overstayed my welcome, so now I take my leave, said Sergei. Don't call me. I'll call you.
Well, Dean groused when their guests had departed. This can't be good. You know whatever favor he comes to collect is gonna suck.
Yeah, but right now I'm taking this as a victory, Dean, Sam said.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, Dean observed,
breaking into a grin just looking at Sam's glowing, entirely visible smile.
There's my boy.
Yup, Sam said. And not Sergei's. Don't worry.
How could Dean, after that?
You hungry?
Starving, actually, said Sam, with an incredulous laugh.
Yeah. Hey, I want a burger. Maybe 2. You want to go out?
Yes. Yes, let's go out. Burgers. Attaboy.
That night they stayed up late, drinking and talking in the kitchen. Sam was animated, spilling dorky laughter everywhere, smiling almost nonstop.
big change from those forlorn sighs and heavy-shouldered hunches over books that couldn't have even helped without a more proficient magic user, as it turned out. As the evening wore on, Sam produced the pacifier from one pocket and showed it to Dean, who hadn't noticed where it had gone after becoming consumed with very graphic fantasies of murdering Sergei. It was tiny in Sam's hand, baby-sized. Somehow Dean was bummed to see it so changed, even though just last night he'd wished it was smaller, and even though it had made the last couple of weeks long and arduous. "Want to torch it?" he asked Sam between sips of beer. "Bet it'll melt like a virgin on prom night now." Sam froze, then faltered. "No, I'm keeping it." "Oh," said Dean. Some inexplicable tingles crept into his face. "It's harmless now," Sam said, thumb pushing against the pliable rubber nipple. "Weird, I know, but I'm not ready to get rid of it. This thing was a part of me in a way I can't even begin to explain. It's hard to even think about destroying it. It'd be like destroying our family photos or something, you know?" "You don't have to get rid of it," Dean told him. "Like you said, it's harmless, so keep it as long as you want." Sam smiled bashfully and turned the pacifier in his fingers like a fidget toy for a long while. Dean watched the rocket spin round and round. "All right," Sam finally huffed, standing. "I'm calling it bedtime." "Yep, about that time," said Dean. "Sleep tight, pal. You earned it." He lifted his beer in salute and watched from his seat as Sam, his big gray-haired little brother who needed a shave, hulked his way through the kitchen door. Sam turned off down the hall, tipsily lethargic, wide shoulders rolling. Dean sat with the forest of various bottles on the table. A few seconds later, a face reappeared at the door jamb, cautious but hopeful, with baby blue at the mouth. The pacifier had dwindled in size so much that it didn't hide Sam's lips at all. But it was there between them, and that was because Sam had put it there of his own free will. He could speak freely now, and he did. "You gonna tuck me in?" Dean was up in a heartbeat. "Hell yes." The end.